KBGG Des Moines, a Cumulus sports station. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Online at 1700thechamp.com. Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Monday. What a better song to come into Monday. NCAA Tournament Week. It's the best week ever. Hope everybody had a great weekend listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. It's the NCAA Tournament, and I couldn't be happier. We have a new guest coming on. I'm just going to get right into it. His name is Tim Murray. He's from the VSiN Network. He hosts the Nightcap. Tim, how you doing today?
I'm just like you, Steen. I'm fired up, man. We didn't get this bracket last year, and now we're ready to roll. We've got 68 teams all mapped out, and we're all ready to make some picks.
And it's such a great thing. So we started texting or emailing back and forth with some people with your company. You got the short straw, so you had to come on here in Des Moines, Iowa, but we're glad you did. It's just, so today was kind of my first introduction to it, and I've been sitting at home all day going, oh my gosh, where has this been? And I told Tim coming in, I said, okay, I have to say this for, so a 55-year-old male that loves football, Brent Musburger is he's the dude. And, you know, that's the first picture that you see when you go on your website. And I'm just, I couldn't be a bigger fan. And he's got to be pretty cool to hang around with.
Yeah. I mean, I was fortunate enough when I accepted my position with VSiN back in the late summer, early fall. I was actually on his old show. You know, he's the voice of the Raiders now. So he's pretty busy, but he would come on during the football season, and it was pretty surreal. You know, I mean, everybody, you think football, you think of the big games. You know, I was joking with him a couple weeks ago. I was watching the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO, and there he was. And then I was watching Cars 2 with my son, and there he was. You know, he's everywhere. So yeah, it's pretty surreal. It's incredible. You know, obviously this was one of his, he was a big part in the inception, in the creation of the network, and for him to still be involved is tremendous.
You know, the interesting thing too with him is as much as him, and I always remember this. It was Brent, Jimmy the Greek was on, you know, and kind of the first kind of talking about betting, and it was like the NFL kind of wanted it hush hush, and people didn't talk about it. Can you imagine from then to where we are right now, where it seems every third month another state's coming on and legalizing gambling, where it has gotten to?
Yeah, it's, I mean, they were really ahead of their times, and obviously Brent was way back, little hints on broadcasts. You know, that was more important to some. You know, and now you're starting to see it more and more with broadcasters. I mean, he really was kind of the godfather of all things sports gambling when it comes to that. But yeah, just think about, you know, this network. I remember, you know, I wasn't working for them when it launched 4 years ago, and now there's so many spots out there that are embracing sports gambling. You know, ESPN has built a set out here in Las Vegas at the Link, so it really has come quite a ways. And you know, we're not that far removed from, you know, Tony Romo not being able to talk at a fantasy football convention here in Las Vegas, you know, just a handful of years ago, and now you know, lines are plastered everywhere. So I think it's a good thing. I do. I think it is, obviously working for a gambling network, but, you know, transparency and all that type of thing. And, I think it's a good thing. And it's just more ways to get people interested, in sports.
Well, and it does. And once again, we're talking to Tim Murray. He hosts the Nightcap, on VSiN. Here's the interesting thing, because when you take a look, I mean, just fantasy football in itself, I mean, that is such a big draw, and it's a big draw to get people. It's no more fun than to go to Las Vegas on a Saturday during, you know, the latter part of the season when a lot of good games are on, and then getting the NFL on Sunday, it is so much fun. And now with fantasy football and all that, and getting all these numbers up to date at the same time, it just makes Vegas, it just brought a whole new group of people to want to go to Vegas to be able to do that. Even though you can do it at home, it's not the same as doing it in Vegas.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, Steen, about Vegas. You know, people might think, oh no, they might be worried about sports gambling being legal in other jurisdictions. They kind of embrace the fact that other spots are going to have it. That's good, but you're going to make your trip out to Las Vegas for the NCAA tournament or the Super Bowl or whatever weekend, last week, and now heading to this week is going to be as popular and populated as it possibly can be. Obviously, there's still some restrictions with COVID here in Nevada, but it's starting to open up, which I think the casinos are pretty excited about. I think it's 50% occupancy starting today. So, yeah, it is going to be, and ultimately, you know, once all this is in the rearview mirror, it's going to be incredible. And then I just think about where one of our new studios is built at the Circa, and Derek Stevens, the owner of Circa, really embraces sports gambling and is part of our network. And it's state of the art. It's the world's largest sports book. Our studio is right smack dab in the middle of there. And it's wild. And there's no better couple of weeks for sports gamblers than March Madness.
My wife and I just got back. We went out on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, came home Wednesday. And you're right. It's you know, you could get into bars. You were able to go out and eat. The casinos weren't anywhere near full, and you could walk up and down the street. It was so funny. And I'm like, boy, when this changes, because that's one of the we checked out Circa. Unbelievable. I mean, it's we hadn't been there for 15 years. In 15 years, everything changed. I mean, it changes where the hot spots are. You know, now you're more in the middle is where all the hot spots are, and not on the ends. It's just, it's so much fun. But when it's NCAA tournament time, and that was my big question to you, on a gambling perspective, and I've wanted to ask somebody this, is not having fans at these venues, does that change how scores and stuff and how the lines are set?
Not really. You know, a little bit during the regular season, you know, home court advantage was maybe brought down a little bit, maybe not worth, you know, 2-3 points to the line, maybe brought down a point or two. But ultimately, you know, you have to think back. I've been, I don't know about you, Steen, out there in Des Moines. I'm sure I do recall, you know, regionals have been there, you know, first, second rounds.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone to a handful of first rounds, especially in the D.C. area where I'm from originally. And, you know, those are quiet arenas, especially early on. Now, once you get into the later rounds and the championship game, obviously there will be differences. But, no, it is not affected the lines, especially for the NCAA tournament. And, you know, the uniqueness of it, certainly with everybody being in Indianapolis and, you know, just different locations across the city, is going to really be fascinating. And I'm excited to see Hinkle Fieldhouse, where Butler plays, and of course where Hoosiers was filmed, and Assembly Hall, home of Indiana, and Mackey Arena, where Purdue plays, and you know the old Pacers Arena, where IUPUI now plays. I mean, all these places are going to be utilized for the NCAA tournament, which I think is going to be a uniqueness to the NCAA tournament. So I'm excited to see, you know, especially Hinkle Fieldhouse and Assembly Hall be utilized here in these early rounds. I think it'll be really a really kind of unique twist on this tournament.
And that's what makes Indianapolis, you're right, so unique, that they have all of that. And they have all of that in a pretty small general area, so it makes it fun. Once again, we're talking to Tim Murray, Visa Network, host the Nightcap. So let's jump into a couple of these. When you look at this, does seeding, does that affect, you know, betting? I think how some of the seeds of some of the teams, I think, are a little upside down. But once you start looking at the whole tournament itself, you know, you have people that do this for a living. You have people that do it for fun. I'm assuming that they do it two different ways.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's interesting. I think there are a couple gripes to be had on the seating front. But what the as of right now, the way that it's kind of broken down, it's only one team that is a higher seed is currently a favorite, and that would be Rutgers over Clemson. Other than that, you know, the lines might be shrunk. But other than that, everything else is kind of as you would expect with the lower seed being higher. But you know, one of the fascinating games is to me right out the gate is this Drake Wichita State game. Obviously, with Drake getting one of the final at large bids in, I really like Drake, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show in Des Moines. I like the Bulldogs in this spot. Hemp Hill should be back, which is obviously huge for Drake. And you know, Wichita State, I feel like they got really carried along because of their win over Houston, which you can't take away that. That's a tremendous win. That's a two seed. That's one of the better wins this year in the country. But all that being said, if you just look at, you know, the year that Wichita State has had, commended on a great year, but I just don't think they're that strong of a team from top to bottom. And Drake is a short underdog. And there are a lot of different folks out there who have, you know, algorithms and whatnot, but KenPom is certainly one of the more respected ones out there, and he has Drake as a 2-point favorite. The odds makers have Wichita as a 2-point favorite. So I like Drake in this spot, and you know, play it on the money line, and I think Drake getting the opportunity to move on, I think is a realistic shot on Thursday evening. So, yeah, that's one of the games I've early been keying in on is that Drake Wichita game on Thursday night.
And that bodes well too. And you know, losing two of their star players at towards the end of the season kind of put a damper on Coach DeVries' season. But I think I agree with you, and it brings back that Missouri Valley rivalry that Drake and Wichita State had. So I think that's pretty cool too. We got about 4 minutes or 3 minutes left. I have this one, and this is every time I love betting the NBA, and I get caught all the time. I'm looking at defensive numbers. I'm looking at offensive numbers, and I bet the over a lot. And you know what I do, Tim? I lose a lot. Give me some help. I mean, it seems like every time I think, okay, this is a sure thing, then you know, usually it's one of the teams just has a really horrible night and they never even get close. And I'm like, that's why I should just bet money lines and let it go. But I love that over.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm not a big total bettor. But yeah, you know, I've kind of had this philosophy, Steen. It's not scientific, but if something's too good to be true, it usually is. And something that I always talk about with a group of buddies of mine is called the stink theory. And I'll give you an example. I know I'm kind of going off course with your total question,
ahead.
But over the weekend, right, Oklahoma State was kind of the hot ticket item, right? They beat Baylor, and everybody's loving Cade Cunningham in Oklahoma State, rightfully so. I mean, you know, he's the future number one overall pick. They beat Baylor, who's the number one seed. And then Saturday rolls around, and guess what happens? Texas is a favorite over Oklahoma State, and everybody in the world was seeing that and just hammering Oklahoma State. Money line, taking the points, whatever it was. And what ultimately happens? Texas wins and covers. So, you know, sometimes when it's too good to be true, as Admiral Akbar would tell us, it's a trap. So sometimes if it's too good to be true, I like to run the other way. So if it's stinky, if it smells, if you think it doesn't make sense, go the other way. Embrace the stink.
I love that. I love bringing Admiral in there. I love that. Here's another one for you. I love watching the NFL, and I love college football, being an Iowa State fan. But I love baseball. I love watching baseball. Baseball is one of those difficult. I mean, it's really difficult to bet on baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. There's no doubt. By the way, you need to get out here. I think September 18th, Cyclones at Allegiant Stadium. Let's sign me up right now. We'll do Steen on Sports live remote. I'll be on set with you. We'll make it happen on that Friday.
Man, that is awesome. We can't wait. I mean, it is. I mean, as soon as they say they had that game, my wife, I mean, so this is the easy part for me, right? My wife said, we're going. And I'm like, boom. Yes. Now we just have to see if the 25 and 21-year-old are going to want to go with us too, which I'm assuming they probably, and the youngest. I have a 20-year-old too that doesn't get to enjoy all the other. Tim?
Yeah, maybe leave that one at home. But, yeah, so I know you're up against a break here, but, yeah, baseball's a tricky one. We'll have to talk. Once baseball comes rolling around, we'll have me back on, and we'll chat it up.
Man, I'm in. I thank you so much. I can't wait to maybe we can talk again early next week. I'll send you an email and check. And thank you for coming on, and we enjoy it. It was great.
Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back to Steen on Sports. Want to thank Tim Murray from the Visa Network, host of the Nightcap. It's fun to talk. Can't wait to get him back on again and talk some more. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ. You can listen live or download the podcast. And you also can go to our website and check that out too. We have coming up right now, I just told him, I got him on the phone. And I said, hey, you know what? You're becoming a pretty big part of this show. And he's like, just bring me more. So Kevin O'Hare, I'm bringing you more. Let's go.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks.
Okay. A lot of basketball to talk about. Let's start with Iowa High School boys. I wanted to, you know, I don't think... you know, I don't think Montezuma winning was a huge upset. The two holes playing, I think that kind of played out. I was kind of surprised Pella beat Ballard by as much as they did. And then I think you and I both agree that Johnston was going to have to play the perfect game and Waukee would have to play their worst game, fully loaded. And Waukee, that was I had a couple of friends we were kind of texting back and forth and we kind of said, you know, with everything that was there, in the championship game, it was Tucker DeVries playing an all-around game that kind of pulled them away.
Yeah, it was. And again, them winning the state title wasn't a surprise to me either. Johnston obviously came out and kind of kicked them in the tail the first half, especially the first 5 minutes. They got up 12-2. You know, Tucker and Peyton, they do what they do. I think you got to give a lot of credit, too, to, you know, kind of the transfer kids, Omaha and Malik Allen. They gave great minutes. Yes. Malik gave great minutes off the bench. And, you know, Omaha was a double-double machine and kind of always has been. And Waukee, again, you can't sustain a lead on Waukee for too long. They're just too darn good.
Yeah, and you know, it just to get, you know, I was talking with my wife and family, we had a family get together and we're like, you know, to get girls basketball, well, first of all, to get football through, get girls basketball through, get wrestling through, and then finish off with the boys basketball, to get all of those games in and get their seasons in was pretty remarkable for the student athletes, the state of Iowa, parents, everybody, coaches like you, everybody. You know, that's something that you got to give yourself a hand, because not a lot of people thought that was going to happen.
No, and I think once we even got into December, we thought pauses were going to continue to happen, and thankfully they didn't. And, yeah, credit to a lot of the kids in general, the parents, just for doing things that they were supposed to do and stuff like that. And now you're starting to see a little bit of the NCAA tournament, you know, getting a little scary with the Virginias, the Kansas, you know, some of these things going on with protocols and being tested. You saw it with the Drake women too. So hopefully we can get through the next month.
What a devastating thing for the Drake women too. And Makisha Wright, I think yesterday showed why she is a coaching candidate for somebody out there to be able to take the reins with, you know, things not looking in your favor and play a great game. Just got wore out.
Yeah, I mean, they only had 8 girls, and again, I know they had Grace Berg who played, but I know they were without a couple of starters, and I'm not sure the extent of some of the others, but yeah, they had, I think, a 2-point lead going into that fourth quarter, and like you said, Bradley kind of wore them down and won that fourth quarter by 8-10 points, but a really, really good job by the Drake women's team.
You know, and it's really crazy, it's just coming across now. Gino Ariyama has COVID, and so depending on what, you know, where he's at, that's 14 days. He may not be coaching in the women's NCAA tournament, depending on what tests come after that. And like you said, you still have teams that they have to get seven consecutive tests in somehow, some way before they can jump on the court. But we did have some, and now that you're all in the same area, you know, I think everybody's just on eggshells until they get that first weekend out of the way.
No, I think you're right. I think teams are trying to travel there, you know, yesterday and today, get there as quickly as they can, do all the protocol testing. I know Virginia's not going. I don't think they're flying out till Friday. And Kansas is keeping a few guys back, not flying out till Friday, that were part of some contract tracing. So I think you're right. I think people want to get through this first weekend, hopefully, fingers crossed, and continue it to go forward.
Before we jump into some of the tournament, let's talk about the Hawkeyes over the weekend. I think they played really well. I think not having a healthy C.J. Frederick, not having a totally 100% Joe Wieskamp, I think that hurt. What I saw this weekend is if Iowa plays a big that can get up and down the floor, if they can't, you know, not having Nungy, that's where this comes in. If you can't give Garza some rest, I mean, he just wore out. When they got it close, I just don't think he had anything left in the tank to be able to carry him through.
No, I agree. And you look at some of their losses this year, you know, Gonzaga's got a couple bigs who are really solid. Obviously, the Illinois losses, the big guy in the middle, Cockburn. I agree. When they run into guys with a big man who is really physical and in shape, it makes it really tough for Garza. And again, teams don't have to double team him because those big guys can play him one-on-one, which takes away the shooters, Iowa's strength. And so it'll be interesting, obviously, with their matchups are out. I like them, not to get ahead of some of your questions, but I like them to play Gonzaga, to get all the way to Gonzaga, but then I think they're going to run into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, and that's tough. And a couple of athletic, you know, that Oregon game, depending on how Oregon plays, you just never know how Oregon's going to play. Before we get there, though, here's the tough thing, and I know that coaching in high school and coaching in college and the pros are different, but it's a tough time for coaches right now. Not only, you know, you're trying to take care of 14 to 16 young men that you've been given, you know, from their parents to say, hey, you need to make sure that he's taken care of. You're going through COVID, you're going through testing, you can't practice, you're doing all this. And let's start with Archie Miller. Goes 67-58 at Indiana in a very tough Big Ten and loses his job.
Yeah. I mean, again, Indiana obviously is known for basketball as a state, right? And, you know, you get paid a lot of money to win and lose at that level and produce. And that's not production for Indiana, or at least for what their administrators and boosters and all that. And I would say even for you and me, I mean, if we're Indiana fans, we're probably not super happy. No. So, again, he's going to get a $10 million buyout in life. He'll find a new job. So, not to make light of it, but when you're at Indiana, you got to win the majority of your games.
You do. And DePaul let go their coach today. It looks like Richard Pitino up in Minnesota. It looks like he's out as well. Let's jump to Rick Pitino. It's funny because that would be really funny because then he could get Kentucky, Louisville. If he could get the Indiana job, which I don't think Indiana will do, but man, they love their basketball. So, I mean, he's taking Iona to the NCAA. So I don't think there's any doubt that Rick Pitino can coach, but it comes with some baggage and they've had some baggage at the school before. But I mean, here was the one today. It said, you know, well, Chris Beard used to be there and maybe he'll just come back. And I'm like, I wanted to ask you, because I asked myself and I know what I answered, but I'll ask you, is Indiana right now a better job than Texas Tech in the Big 12?
Oh, that's a good question. So that's a good question. So I think going forward, Indiana is going to be a better job. I think facility wise, just statewide, Indiana, right? You know, Larry Bird. I mean, the list goes on and on. Hinkle Fieldhouse, Butler, just the tradition of basketball in general. So I think going forward, Indiana, Chris Beard obviously has put Texas Tech on the map. You know, Bob Knight did a little bit of that too when he was there. But I think the excitement for Indiana basketball going forward is going to be there. You know, to talk about Rick Pitino really quick, he gets in the tournament. Kentucky and Louisville don't, former employers of his. Someone's going to take a chance on Pitino, and do the risks outweigh the reward, or the rewards outweigh the risks? I think they do, and they do for some of these programs. what he did and all that stuff, the scandal, you know, it's kind of gone away for a little bit. Now he's back on the map, put Iona back on the map, and someone's going to take a chance on him.
I do too. You also have, you know, another commodity that's out there, Scott Drew at Baylor, another Big 12 team. And I get a little bit because the Big 12 still, for the foreseeable future, is still it's a football conference. Not that the Big 10's not, but the Big 10's had a lot of, at least for Indiana. I don't know if Scott Drew leaves either. There's another place that has great facilities, but it is in Texas, and I get that. But there's another big name coach that, you know, they're going to get openings. I think it's tougher, and I'll ask you this. Is it tougher to get somebody good into Indiana or Minnesota?
I think it's tougher to get somebody good into Minnesota.
I think you're right, because I actually thought Richard Pitino could turn that around, and he just didn't. And that seems – I feel bad for him too, because that's not an easy situation. We all know that. It's not easy. It's not easy for their football program. You know, when you're talking a three-sport town with all professional teams, and then you have your basketball teams and football teams for college, it's tough.
Yeah, and in regards to Beard and Drew, you know, if they would go to Indiana or whatever, they're already getting paid good amount of money at really good schools. So is Indiana going to throw a ton more at them? I don't know that. So at that point, you know, does it just become like an ego thing? Okay, hey, I did this at Baylor. Now let's go see if we can do it in Indiana. Or I did this at Texas Tech. Because, again, money at all three of those schools are probably relatively the same. So now it's just like, here's what I did here. Now let's just see if I can go do it again. Or do I feel really good about where I'm at, what I did, where's my family life, all that good stuff, and just keep it moving, keep it going.
And here's one name we haven't mentioned, and they already knocked him out of the race. Steve Alford's not going home. He's not going to Indiana to coach. They don't want anything to do with that. So that seems he's kind of dropped off the face of the earth. So interesting. Fran McCaffrey signing through 2027, 2028. I think that's well-deserved. I think what he's done up there, I think he should have been rewarded.
Yeah, I do too. But to be honest, I was a little surprised when I saw it today. I guess I didn't know maybe there were even contract talks going on or when his was up. Obviously, he's done an unbelievable job this year. And even, you know, some of these past years, but I was a little surprised with the length of the extension and stuff like that. So that kind of caught me for a loop. Not that he doesn't deserve it, but it just caught me off guard a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that so he has in pay over the remaining years, it's $23.4 million. So that's a pretty good chunk of money. And, you know, of all the – and this was really funny – with Fran, I thought of all the years, I thought, man, Fran may be ornery this year, you know, being COVID, not getting to work with the kids as much as he wants to. He has had a really good year for Fran McCaffrey in the not getting himself in trouble mode.
No, he really has. And you've seen lately, you know, he's really come under the radar when you got guys like Michigan, Juwan Howard obviously escalated the other day with an ejection. You know, Brad Underwood at Illinois, awful feisty as well. So, you know, there's some other coaches in the league, too, that have kind of maybe helped Fran along the way and put him under the radar, so to speak. But Fran's, you know, he's earned his stripes. And so I think refs and officials know what they're going to get with him. He's just, he's intense. He's excited. He loves his team. He's fired up. He's passionate. So, you know, maybe they've kind of, or he's grown on them a little bit, too.
So just glancing, you said you did a quick glance today. I did a quick run through too. I'm going to give you my which just, you know, not even, I didn't even think. I looked at it and I wrote down something. I have my final four. I have Gonzaga, Baylor, Illinois, and Alabama. Of all the teams that I saw bits and pieces of this weekend, I would not want to play Alabama.
So it's funny you say that. Okay, so tell me your four one more time real quick.
I have Gonzaga, Baylor, Illinois, Alabama.
So I got the same four.
Really?
I'm not even kidding you. I got Gonzaga to win it all. But, again, I think those four teams, you know, Baylor maybe hasn't played their best basketball as of late. Obviously, they're coming off a pause. But Gonzaga, I have one in the whole thing. Alabama's playing. Alabama and Illinois are probably two of the hottest teams playing, and that's what you want to be doing right now. So I agree. I think Nate Oates at Alabama has them playing about as good as you possibly can play.
And here's a really funny thing. So what I was looking for, can play defense, long, don't have to be tall, just have to be long, great point guard play, and coaching. And I think, you know, Alabama, you're not going to have time to, you know, you're not going to get to watch enough video of them. And, you know, you get to see, I think Baylor's length is going to drive teams crazy. And but the other thing is, you have to, I mean, I almost had Houston upsetting Illinois, but I don't think Houston's seen the type of defense that, you know, that Baylor can do. I think it's different, and I can't believe I'm talking about defense in the Big 12, but it's true.
Right, and I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. I think, you know, guard play is huge. And again, mismatches in general throughout the tournament, and coaches and guys that have been there and stuff like that. But I think Baylor and Alabama have two of the best guards on each team. And again, Illinois's got great guards too, as does Gonzaga. But I think Gonzaga beats Baylor in a tournament for the ages, or at least a championship game for the ages. And I've been wrong in my brackets many a times. Hopefully not this year.
And I think, you know, just because we're here and we got 20 seconds, Iowa, I think that Jordy Bohannon and C.J. Frederick and Joe Wieskamp, those two have to be healthy, because Jordy Bohannon can't do it himself, and Joe Troussant's not going to be able to handle some of that pressure. Keegan Murray is a difference maker for them, and he showed it again this weekend. When he's on the floor, they're plus minus way upside down and needs more minutes. So you're coming back on tomorrow at 5:20. I appreciate you jumping on today. We'll go through the bracket tomorrow. Thanks, Kev.
Thank you.
Anytime, buddy. Kevin O'Hare. Okay. Whew. I got to take a breath. There we go. I'm going to be back in this next segment. It's just going to be me for the last 12 minutes of this hour. Then we have Sean Bach coming in. We have Kevin Lehman coming in. Are you kidding me? You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Get a little Steen talking about the weekend next.
Connect with Steen on Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Great snow. I mean, we were talking about how nice it was last week, and what did we get today? Snow. If you want to check us out, go to Steen on Sports on Twitter, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, websites at 1700thechamp.com. You can download the podcast, listen to the show live. If you're going to do some sports betting, and I did some sports betting this weekend, didn't have a great weekend, but didn't have a horrible weekend. Please check out the BetMGM app. You can download it on your phone, easy to use. Put a deposit in, you got bets, you got first-time parlay, you got the first-time bet of up to $100 that they'll refund back into your account. Just a lot of fun things. I mean, the NCAA tournament, you have... you know, baseball getting ready to come in. You have soccer, you have golf, and you have NASCAR. I just missed out on NASCAR. My guy came in second again. That's the third time this year that I've missed by a spot. And also, if you want to find a great place to do your banking, go to Northwest Bank. They have two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. They are a member of FDIC. Want to thank Tim Murray from the Visa Network. It's a huge, so it's VSIN Network. Go out and check it out. You can look him up on Twitter. I think it's just VSIN at Twitter. A huge thing. Brent Musburger is the big deal with those guys. Really big. I mean, when you're talking sports betting guys, that's one of the bigger ones that there are. Let's see who else. So I had Kevin O'Hare come in. We did just kind of a brief overview today with kind of things happening. He's going to go come in and you know, check out. We're going to kind of go through our tournament bracket. I went through one today, just not even thinking about it. So I'm going to put two in, one that I didn't think at all on. I just started putting names down at first thing that came into my head. And then I'm going to do one where I sit down and really try to think through and look at line scores and all that. And I guarantee you the first one will be better, but hey, what can you do? Speaking of gambling or sports betting, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. signed a two-fight deal. Those are the people holding all the heavyweight belts in boxing. You know, as big as MMA is getting, and MMA is one of those things that if you're flipping, I was flipping through the TV in between games, both Saturday and Sunday, and golf, and had a couple of fights on. And once you start watching, you can't stop. I mean, that is their, you know, that's their thing. I mean, they got it. You got to want to watch it, but once you get and you're watching it, I couldn't stop. I watched it. It was a women's fight. I don't even remember who or where. They went at it. I mean, they just beat the holy heck out of each other, and I couldn't turn off. So I mean, the crazy stuff. But all that going on. But that's a big deal for. I mean, boxing's been okay, but if you don't have a heavyweight division, boxing's not okay. It's never been okay. We lost Marvelous Marvin Hagler this weekend. That's the pretty much the only time when you had Hagler, you had Hearns, you had Roberto Duran, and you had Sugar Ray Leonard. That was the only time that you had a point where everybody wasn't looking at the heavyweights. They were looking at those guys. But now it's heavyweights, and that's who everybody's wanting to see, and they've kind of, you know, not wanted to fight each other. But those are two mammoth big guys, and it'll be a lot of fun to watch. We did discuss a little bit with Kevin today that Indiana Hoosiers have let Archie Miller go. He's going to find a job quickly, folks. It's just simple. He's not a bad coach. It just didn't work out. And sometimes that happens. The biggest news of the weekend probably was Drew Brees retiring. I think we all knew that. I think Drew Brees knew when he was. If you saw pictures after the New Orleans Tampa Bay game in the NFC Championship, and you saw him talking with Tom Brady and their kids playing and all that, you could probably see that he's leaving New Orleans, probably making more money stepping into the booth with NBC to do their NFL pregame show, postgame show, call some games, call some Notre Dame games. It'll be fun to see how he does. Here's my only Drew Brees story that I have, and I do this for my buddy Scott Brower, my brother from another mother. If the Miami Dolphins front office and general manager would have let Nick Saban follow through with the trade that he had in place for Drew Brees, and they would not give the okay on his medicals, you're talking a whole different story in the AFC and not in New Orleans, because and in college football, Nick Saban would have won a couple of Super Bowls, probably would have never went to Alabama, wouldn't have went to LSU, wouldn't have done any of that, because he'd have been in Miami happy, just like his partner in crime, Bill Belichick, and they'd have been battling out in the conference and going at it. And who's betting against Nick Saban? I mean, he just didn't get a quarterback, but he had his quarterback. He knew who he wanted, and the team wouldn't sign off on it. So congrats to Drew Brees. I think that's a big, big deal. And I think that he's, you know, you never know how good you're going to be on TV. Trust me, I guarantee you it's difficult to do, because you think about doing this and you think, wow, this is easy. Man, it is not easy. And even being mediocre at it is not easy. So I think that he's going to do a great job. For me this weekend, I spent 4 hours of my weekend with my oldest, Zach, and we sat in the couch and watched the Players' Championship. And to see Justin Thomas win was enlightening. JT's been through some tough times. He was mad at himself a couple of months ago and said something that he shouldn't have, lost a couple of sponsors. People were kind of coming down hard on him. He fought back, played an amazing last two rounds. Actually, the last 27 holes was amazing. You know, so he had all that on his mind. He's got his family's there. They finally get to watch him play a little bit. It was so much fun seeing fans at the Players' Championship. It wasn't a ton, but it was enough that these guys knew that somebody was there cheering them on. And it was a great duel up to that point with Lee Westwood and Bryson DeChambeau again. Justin just came out of nowhere. DeChambeau and Lee Westwood made a golfer like me feel good this weekend. One topped it and it went like 60 yards. The other one snap hooked it over into the water like 75 yards down. It shows that they're human, but then they come back. And DeChambeau missed a, I saw this late this afternoon, missed a, I don't know, a 4-foot putt that lipped out and went around and came out. $400,000. Just think about that. A putt that looked like it was going in. When Zach and I first saw it, we thought he shouldn't have left the flag in, but he usually does when he's putting, and it just kind of, I don't think it actually, when they did it in slow motion, it didn't look like it even hit it, but that was a putt that cost him 400 grand. That is craziness. We talked a little bit with Coach O'Hare and about Fran McCaffrey. That is a contract extension through 2028. It adds about $24 million onto his current contract that he had. And I, after what he's done this year, I don't see how people can be angry about that. Gino Auriemma, I don't know if I mentioned, I got so many things going on in my head with this NCAA tournament, tested positive today for COVID. I think he'll retest again tomorrow morning. If he's positive again, that's 14 days. That takes him out of the national tournament, not his players. I don't know what contact tracing had been done. It was really funny. I didn't get to talk to Coach O'Hare, so maybe I'll try to do that quickly tomorrow, about the Iowa Hawkeye women, Caitlin Clark, and their run through the Big Ten. If I'm an NCAA and I'm in women's basketball, a team that I do not want to face is the Maryland Terrapins, because they're big, they're fast, they shoot, and they run and run and run. And I would not want to face them without having any film, enough film at least. Oh boy, where else am I at? Oh, and here's my last thing, and I'll probably try to hit this on the 5:40 hour as well. You know, we're talking about name, image, and likeness. We're talking about what should we pay players and not pay players. Just think about this. So, and I have nothing against Archie Miller. I think that it's tough when you go through if you're getting fired from your basketball team this year during COVID. I think it's horrible, because what you had to go through, no one could imagine. You know, the teams that did it the right way, the Drakes, the Iowas, Iowa State, even though their season didn't end the way it wanted to, you know, not to have a pause or to have any of that, you and I, in even fighting through their injuries, you know, you shouldn't be getting fired when something like this happened. But he got fired, and I felt bad for him until I saw $10.35 million. Even though the university says they don't have a lot of money, they're going to private donors to pay that $10.35 million. But we cannot pay student athletes to perform at school. Almost definitely should be doing it during a pandemic, that what everything they had to go through. And I'll talk about that in the 5:40 hour. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Sean Bach, Iowa Hawkeyes, that close to Big Ten champions. How close can they get to NCAA champions? Next.